And it looks as though the calls for customers to boycott Vodacom are just not dying down. Protesters are demanding that Vodacom pay Nkosana Makate for his Please Call Me invention. And they're looking at the issue of 70 billion rand they say is owed to him. Now, today, Vodacom went ahead and served papers, legal papers, on the organizers of that Please Call Me movement. It asked them to stop making defamatory statements in public. So we wanted to establish if Vodacom actually has a case against the group. Criminal lawyer Ulrich Ruh joins us to bring some clarity to this issue. Ulrich, always good to have you on the program. Welcome once again. Does Vodacom have a case here, Polly?
Hi, good afternoon, Jan. The only defences to claim that a person is guilty of defamation is if that person is in fact telling the truth or whether the comments they are making is in the public interest. Now, Mr. Lesufi's comments where he calls on Vodacom to make payment before the end of January this year, you know, given the history of the matter, I don't think that one could say that it is not the truth. But secondly, is it in the public interest? And I do think that this Please Call Me matter has been scrutinized by the public at large. It has received a lot of media attention, and it's certainly well known within the country. So I do think that it is in the public interest. And I think that we must remember that a court has ordered that Vodacom is to pay damages towards the actual person who founded the Please Call Me, and that they are liable towards that person, and that it is now up to them to come up with a number that is acceptable to pay towards him. So I don't think that the comments made by Mr. Lesufi can be deemed to amount to defamation. Because of those reasons, I think that it is not false. It is in fact truthful, and it is in the public interest.
Interesting indeed. Let me ask you about this issue of the court intervention here. I mean, that was a really important development for Mr. Makate. However, the court simply stipulated that a reasonable amount must be paid over. Now, how helpful, how useful is it in a case like this if a court cannot narrow that down based on a specific formula that would indicate what exactly that amount should be or the region in which it should be?
I think the main reason why the court did make that order is because it is such a complex formula to actually calculate how much profit and how much money Vodacom has made through the Please Call Me invention. You know, and that is why they left it up to the parties to come up with a reasonable amount. But having said that, the order also makes provision for him to approach the court once again if a reasonable amount cannot be agreed upon between the parties. I think it is common cause that Vodacom has made an offer to him. He has come out and said that the offer is a ridiculous offer. He will never accept it, and they must come back with a better offer. So I do think that if the parties don't have a meeting of the minds soon, then he will be approaching the court once again to intervene and perhaps appoint someone like a forensic auditor or a referee. In big commercial matters, we do see a lot that a referee is appointed, someone with background in finances, someone who is possibly a qualified CA, possibly an actuary, who can be appointed to calculate the amount which Vodacom has to pay over.
You know, it's a very tricky matter, Ulrich, because, of course, we're moving into a domain where there's so many developments in technology that the law around them has been left behind. How does new law around this kind of thing, how does new legislation, how is it created in order to keep up with these kinds of developments?
Yes, it's a very valid point. You know, we've seen vast developments in cyber law, you know, as well as the law of intellectual property, all of these issues. But the law keeps on developing with every court case that is decided upon. You know, our law is based on case law, and certainly this matter is a reported matter, and it will set a precedent going forward. But I do think that we must also keep in mind that, remember, that there's even though it should not be the case, there's always the court of public opinion. And I think that Vodacom should be cautious of this. You know, a court has made a decision to say that they, in fact, cannot claim that they invented the Please Call Me, that they need to reimburse the person who actually did invent it, and that, you know, they should come to some sort of settlement with that person, because it's their reputation that's suffering. And the longer that this carries on for and drags on for, I think the more reputational damage they are going to suffer. In terms of the law keeps on developing, but as you correctly point out, we need to make sure that the law stays abreast of matters such as this, especially with the development of technology and cyber law that we are seeing, you know, takes place on a daily basis.
Ulrich, I just want to ask you one last question about one of the developments in this case, and it centers on a column that one of the senior Vodacom officials wrote. This was not entered into court papers, but it was revealed in a column, according to this individual, that essentially it was not Vodacom that had come up with this idea, but MTN, and that their Call Me service had actually been invented and introduced a month before Vodacom's. Would that, being in the public domain, in any way skew the court's findings?
No, I don't think so. I think that this court case specifically, turns around Vodacom and the actual employee of Vodacom who developed the Please Call Me service. So I don't think that MTN has any standing in this specific instance. It would have if Vodacom, does claim royalties towards that specific Please Call Me service, but in fact it was MTN who developed it. Then you could see a possible action, but not the action that is currently before court.
Thank you so much for answering our questions on that issue. Ulrich Ruh, he is an independent attorney.